All right. Hey, junior hires. I'm so glad you guys are with us tonight. I mean, you guys know that we've been talking about relationships, and I told you that in this series we were going to be talking about a three-letter word. Do you remember what that word was? Sex. Yeah, sex. Okay, so you guys, it's okay to be weird about that. If you didn't know we're talking about that tonight, it's okay. It's understandable. You can giggle if you need to, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of fun talking about it. When I'm funny, please, when I'm funny only, okay? So we got two rules, though, that I want you to remember that we did ask you to do. And that first one is this one. It's to listen to what God has to say. That's the first one. I don't want you to be distracted tonight. I want you to listen to what God has to say because he has a lot to say about this. Number two is don't distract others, okay? So if you hear something funny, you can giggle about it, but there's no reason to laugh about, keep talking about it and make a joke out of it. So just knock that off completely. Let's grow up just a little bit tonight as we talk about this. Now, some of you thinking probably like, why? Why are we talking about sex in church? Well, I'll tell you why. There's two reasons why. They're very important. One, like we already said, God has a lot to say about it. Okay, that's the first one. God has a lot to say about it. It should be up on the screen next. The next one is, you're being bombarded by messages about sex all day long, every day, okay? Whether you listen to the new songs that are on the radio, the fresh ones that are coming out, whether you watch movies, you read a book, walk through the aisle at Walmart, you never know where you're going to see something about sex. And I want you to know that a large amount of these messages that you're seeing and hearing, and some of your parents probably are watching movies, and you're watching them right along with you, and a sex scene pops up, and you're like, what's that all about? And they're like, oh, no, we should probably, no, let's fast forward or whatever. But those messages, guys, they're not correct. There are incorrect messages. And some of them are flat-out lies, but we know that the world uses sex to sell their things, okay? And if I could sum up where we're headed tonight in one short statement, it would be this, okay? God created sex with meaningful purpose. Okay, you're not going to hear that probably in any song. You're not going to hear that in any joke at your middle schools. You're not going to hear that probably anywhere in anything you read that the world is giving you, okay? So sex is a big deal to God. It really is. And I want it to be a big deal to you in a very fresh and exciting and new way, okay? Sex is a big deal to God. I want to talk about that for just a second and dive into it. If it's a big deal to him, then you're probably saying, well, how do you know that it is? Well, for starters, in our first week, we showed you this passage in Genesis 2. The man said, this is now, remember I said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I mean, I don't know why the man was saying that about the first created woman. Maybe he was like, yay, okay, I don't know. He said, she will be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Remember that story? And then verse 24 says, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Now, I told you these verses last week, where that's the moment when God created sex, okay? He probably had the idea already in his head while he was creating woman. And I know it may not seem like that's what it is, but that is when it happened. And that phrase, to become one flesh, that is an Old Testament way to basically talk about sex. So God created it, all right? And not only did he create it, he also made a purpose for it. And the Bible talks about four purposes for sex that I want to tell you tonight, okay? The first one is make babies, okay? All right? It is. That's what God said. You might hear the word procreation, but that's just a fancy word for making babies, okay? So God created sex as a way to continue populating the world, all right? And in Genesis 1:28, God gives his first command to the man and woman that he created. Here it is. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. So basically, God looked at Adam and Eve and he says, go make babies. And they were like, okay. That's just how it happened. Well, you might be asking, how do you make babies? Well, you have sex. Now, if you're unsure about all of that, and you're like, I really don't know how that works. That's okay. We want to encourage you after tonight to go home and ask your parents. You're like, what? No, I'm not kidding. Your parents already know that they're waiting for you to ask. In fact, your parents don't want to ask you to come and have the talk with them. They don't. Just like me, when my kids were young, I was like, I don't want to have this talk. I don't want to tell them about this. It's weird. Okay? I wish Aaron would have came up to me and said, Dad, tell me all about sex. And I'm only like, okay, well, let's talk about it. So, guys, if you're ready, go talk to your parents. Ask them. Tell them you want to know exactly what happens. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. Number two, purpose for marriage or for sex is to make marriage official. This is another big word that sometimes is used that we hear, consummation. You consummate the marriage. In Genesis 2:24, it says this, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. There's the marriage. And they become one flesh. So the idea here of the wedding ceremony, you've seen a wedding, exchanging of vows, giving promises, sharing of rings, and they commit to being a man and wife, husband and wife, forever. And the wedding night is what we call a honeymoon, and that is a sacred confirmation of marriage. You're not going to hear sacred in our world along with sex at all, ever. It is a sacred thing from Scripture. And notice that it says between a man and a woman, if you're questioning that. The number three thing that the Bible talks about sex is that it builds sacred love and intimacy. God created sex to be very intimate and a very sacred act. Sex in marriage creates this emotional connection in a way that's like entirely unique. It is meant to be something that brings a couple closer together, and that's what the word intimacy means, to draw near or to be close or to have a strong, trusting relationship with someone else. Number four, the reason why God created sex was for pleasure. This one might be like, oh, what? Yeah, I mean, if God had made sex something robotic and dumb, it wouldn't work in relationship. Instead, he wanted it to be something that was really enjoyable. In fact, spoiler alert, it is so enjoyable that it creates such an intimate bond with the person that you love that you never want to hurt or explore anyone else. You never want to hurt them, or you never want to explore anyone else outside of marriage. You want to love them like that for the rest of your life, till death do you part. That's what you say in the marriage vows, is that I'm committing myself forever. Guys, God knew what he was doing when he promised and he allowed a man and a woman to promise themselves to each other in the sharing of enjoyable sex. Okay, so you're like, all right, I want to go back to the first sentence. God made sex with meaningful purpose. So it should be, it is a big deal to God, right? And so you can clearly see now with those four purposes, you're never going to hear that in anything you're hearing today. Any words from music, any sitcom, you're not going to hear that God made it good for you and that it was for those purposes. And it's a big deal to him. I mean, if it's the seal the deal moment in marriage, then it's probably a big deal to God. If it builds sacred love and intimacy in that marriage, then those two things God's a big fan of. He wants those things to happen. And if he made it pleasurable, then he's like, have fun and enjoy what you get to enjoy. He's a big fan, right? So, but the issue is that we have to deal with what our world is telling us all the time. And another aspect that kind of helps us grasp how big of a deal it is what we call God's parameters. God sets parameters around everything. They're for protection. And it's a fancy word for guidelines or boundaries. And some of you ask those questions in your small group. You're like, I would like Chris or Trotter to talk about how far is too far or what are the boundaries, which we're going to do next week. We're going to do a question and answer panel of couples on the stage. So I want you to come next week. It's not going to be rated G. We'll let your parents know what we're doing. But the boundaries issue, God made sex with meaningful purpose, should be a big deal to us, right? We want to know how he sees this. So it's important to you to listen really closely to the next thing I'm getting ready to say. Sex is so good and powerful, and sin is so real, that it is powerful, that we must be aware of how Satan, our enemy, wants to use our own fleshly desires, the desires that are in us, especially when we don't have any information about sex from God. By the way, you'll deal with these certain changes in your life as you grow in your flesh. And you'll be wondering, okay, how do I deal with this? Well, God's given us a way to deal with that. And if you don't, understand that Satan wants to trip you up and he is feeding you a bunch of lies through some of the stuff you're listening to, then you will mess up, okay, if you haven't already, all right? And throughout Scripture, God gives clear instructions and guidelines regarding for us how to handle sex. I don't want to overcomplicate this, so I'm going to set two parameters for you tonight so that you can take them home. Number one, there is a time and a place for sex, and that is marriage. Okay? There's a time and place for sex, and that is marriage. He set it in motion, right away with the first male and female relationship, Adam and Eve, in Genesis 2:24. We're going to look at it once more. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. They are united in marriage, and then sex happens. In the book of Hebrews, the writer says it this way. He says, marriage should be honored by all. It should be honored. It should never be dishonored. And the marriage bed kept pure. For the God will judge the adulterer. If you don't know what an adulterer is, that's somebody that likes to have sex with other people while they're married. Okay, male or female, doesn't matter. And all the sexual immoral. Okay, sexually immoral. We're going to focus on that in just a minute. But these verses paint a very clear picture. Paint a very clear picture that this should only happen between a man and a woman who are married. And anything else, guys, is off limits to us. And it's not God's design. It's not his design. Anything else separate from what God says, he is our authority, okay? And we trust him, and we give our lives to him. Okay, so the second parameter is this, and it has to do with fleeing from sexual immorality. You catch that phrase in Hebrews, right? The Bible also uses another form, sexual morality, throughout scriptures in different phrases. And basically those phrases talk about sexual activity outside of marriage, and it doesn't have to be with someone else. It can be by yourself as you're thinking and acting and doing things by yourself. It's anything that you do outside of marriage. So I want to check out one more verse to kind of help us. Ephesians 5:3, it says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity for those who are Christians, right? Or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Did you hear that? And the phrase I want you to lock in there is not a hint of sexual immorality. Now, you'd be asking why, probably. You're like, why? Well, it's because sexual immorality is about lust. Remember we talked about lust if you weren't here last week? Lust has to do with being what? Does anybody remember? Selfish, yeah. And so if you're selfish, then you're wanting everything for yourself, then no wonder sexual immorality and greed are labeled in this verse here as improper for God's people, right? So they both are always looking to take advantage, right? And greed breeds more greed, and sexual immorality or lust breeds more sexual immorality or lust. It's that power. That's why 1 Corinthians 6:18 says this, flee, you got it? Keep going, one more. Should be 1 Corinthians, whoops. I left that one out, sorry. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. And the phrase there I want you to lock in is this. Flee from sexual immorality. And you guys know when it feels weird, when people start talking about it. You know when it doesn't seem right, it seems off color, seems wrong. That's what we're talking about. That's when you need to flee or stop that kind of conversation, because that's not from God. Okay? Something in us, guys, wants to see how much we can get away with, right, before we get caught. Anybody ever like, well, let's just push the line. Let's just see how far we can take it. The Bible calls that our evil desires that are within us, okay? We have it. It's there. It's sin. That's what it's called. And a question that we ask sometimes, I think, is this. We say, how far is too far? And you guys asked that. You guys asked some of your small group leaders, ask Chris, how far is too far? How far can I go in a relationship before I've done messed up, right? But I want you to not really focus on that answer or that question, because I think the question's flawed. Here's why. Because at the core of that question is this. It's the idea of how I can try to figure out about how close I can get to the edge, right, without going over. And if our goal as a Christian, if you're a believer, is to not have a hint of sexual immorality in your life or sexual immoral ideas, and then the challenge is to flee from those, I'm pretty sure we're asking the wrong question. I don't think we should be asking how far is too far. I think we should be asking how far away can I get so that I know I'm far away. Something like that. How far away I can be. And I know some of you guys are thinking, Chris, you know, you're telling us not to do this and not to do that. And you're like, what about you? Guys, I'll just tell you right now, I messed up sexually in my life, and I wish I would have never done it. You're like, Chris, you're a minister. You shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you're right. I wasn't a Christian when I did it, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, if no other adult ever tells you, it is empty and pointless and very hurtful. not only for the person that was experiencing that with me, but for me as well. And I've had to deal with those kinds of difficult circumstances in my life for the rest of my life. Some of you in this room have already done this. You've already crossed the line. You've let some boy touch you or some girl touch you. You've went too far. And you know what it feels like, what I just expressed to you. And I wish that I could say that I was not that way, because I'm not proud of that. But I know that God's redeemed me and has given me a better life. And you all know how I talk about my wife. You know that I love her so much and that she has helped me with all kinds of things in my life. Guys, I want you to know tonight that if you've struggled about this, there's a way for you to undo that and to let God heal you. Some of you are like, well, I don't even know if I really like God. I don't even like Christianity, Chris. I know that some of you are on the bubble, that you're like, I may not be here next week because I don't like you. Okay, I get it. I mean, I'm sometimes not likable, but so are you, okay? Sometimes there are times when you are like, I know when I'm not being nice to you or nice to people and I have to get on to you, that kind of thing, right? But listen, guys, it's important for you to hear this message here, but specifically this. God created this for good, not for bad. But the world has taken it and using it and distorted it and manipulated it and perverted it. And that's what you guys are eating right now. You're soaking that in all the time. Some of you are. Some of you not. Some of you on accident. Some people have to hear it because you have friends that you have to work with. But I'm afraid that you might be under the impression that God made sex as kind of an off-limits thing. And he did for a time. It's not something you need to handle as junior hires or to think that God made as bad, because he didn't make it bad. And I don't want you to be frustrated with God, but I want you to see this as an opportunity to look into the future, because he designed it with such goodness and such great parameters, so all you need to do is to do your best to follow that and to figure out how God thinks about it. And after tonight, you kind of know, so you're kind of accountable to it, because sex is a big deal to God. And guys, handling sex God's way should be a big deal to us. Because God created sex with meaningful purpose. And listen, anything outside of those purposes will end up hurting you. I'm just telling you right now, it's going to end up hurting you. And some of you have already experienced. Maybe you've already crossed the line, like I said before. Or someone else has crossed the line with you inappropriately. Can I just help you tonight by saying God wants to forgive you. He wants to restore you. And that you shouldn't run from this, because you can't outrun God's love. He is always going to love you. And you can't out-sin God's grace. Okay? He's always going to offer it to you. So let me pray for you, and then we'll close. God, we know that sex is a big deal to you. And because it's a big deal to you, my prayer is that each student here tonight will take making sex and handling sex your way a big deal to them. And God, because you made sex with such amazing and sacred, meaningful purpose and with these awesome parameters to help us protect ourselves, God, you love us. And I pray that each student here will commit tonight to following your perfect plan for sex in the future. And God, I also know and I pray for those who have already crossed the line, or they've been abused or sexually experimented by with other people, from selfish, greedy people who follow their selfish desires. And they've been hurt. And I pray for healing for them tonight, and knowing that you will love them and you will cover them and that they can be restored and find peace in their hearts on this subject. And so God, as we leave this place tonight, may we be encouraged to live life as you have taught us, especially with this idea of sex. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.